On this week's State of the Union, we take a look at politics in West Virginia, the fifth in this series. Joining me now to explain what matters to voters in the Mountain State is Scott Finn, a reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm pleased to welcome him to the States of the Union series. Hi.
Thanks for having me on.
West Virginia was said to be key to President Bush's victory in 2000 because the president supported clean coal and opposed gun control measures, and he won the state with 52% of the vote. Were those really the two issues that swung the electorate for Mr. Bush?
I think that's part of it. I mean, I covered the 2004 election when Bush was reelected by 13 points, and I can talk about that in some specifics. I went to the Bush rallies, and when I went there, I just asked an open-ended question, you know, why are you here? And over again, I heard people say things like, I'm here to lift up the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. That was one answer from a man. Just that's his exact answer to when I said, why are you here?
So how powerful is the evangelical Christian vote in West Virginia?
Hugely, hugely powerful, but not stereotypically Republican. I mean, you know, until recently, evangelicals in West Virginia often had low turnout as far as coming to vote. They had this idea that being involved in politics was dirty and was kind of make, you know, sullied them. But I think that Bush really connected with them in a very personal way. When he was here, he talked very openly about his faith, and people connected with that. So you cannot underestimate that factor. I'll give you an example. In West Virginia, a lot of people live up very narrow sort of valleys called hollers. And I was going up one of these kind of rural, poor hollers, and there was a single-wide trailer that had a huge sign. It must have been 4 feet by 6 feet across that said Bush Cheney. And I said, there you go. You know, I never saw anything like that before in West Virginia. He managed to get people that wouldn't normally vote for him and for a Republican candidate excited about coming out in 2004.
And in 2000, the vote was really important because if Al Gore had won West Virginia's five electoral votes, Florida wouldn't have mattered.
And West Virginia went for Bill Clinton in both 92 and 1996. And this is a state that, you have to remember, it's seen as a Democratic state outside of these national elections. We have a Democratic governor, Governor Joe Manchin. He's extremely popular here. Both of our senators, Senator Robert Byrd and Senator Jay Rockefeller, are Democrats. And tend toward the left end of the spectrum. And two of our three Congress members are Democrats. So, but the thing is, at the state level in particular, the Democrats that get elected here tend to be conservative Democrats. The only times that Democrats lose the governor's race is when they put up a bona fide sort of liberal against a more moderate Republican. And you know, I guess you could say that a lot of voters here are socially conservative, but fiscally liberal. Since we are a low-income state, people benefit personally sometimes from government spending. And so, tax and spend isn't necessarily as dirty of a word here as it is in some other southern states.
West Virginia is ranked 50th in household incomes, 50th in state median value of housing. That's the last. But ranked first in home ownership. So how has the subprime mortgage crisis hit the state?
Well, it has not. Largely. And it's one of the ironies of living here in that the good times often miss us, but the bad times often miss us also. We rank 49th in the number of home foreclosures. So I guess the way you could summarize that is we don't have much, but we have it. You know, and people here, we have one of the lowest rates of immigration into the state. Folks, it's an overwhelmingly white state with a small black population and hardly any other minorities. And people who live here tend to have been here for generations.
In fact, it has the highest median age of any state in the United States, even higher than Florida.
Exactly right. And that's largely that's not people moving into West Virginia to retire, although we have a little bit of that. It's mostly people just staying and young people, you know, leaving.
Where are they going?
North Carolina, used to be they would go to the industrial cities of the Northeast, Cleveland, Ohio, Detroit, and now it's kind of reversed. They go to the Sun Belt. And when they have a chance, they come back. A lot of times, we're seeing a lot of people in the coal mining industry move from those places back to West Virginia now that there are more jobs available in mining. But it's still just a trickle. A lot of people want to stay here, but we've been very hard hit from the reduction in manufacturing jobs. And just the other day here in where I live in Charleston, West Virginia, we lost 150 research jobs in the chemical industry. Dow Manufacturing announced that they were going to cut those research jobs, which paid $100,000 a year or more, and move them to China and India. So we're reeling from losses in the chemical industry, in the steel industry, and we've already had the sort of poverty issues that everyone's familiar with.
Well, how does the aging of West Virginia affect issues like Social Security and education?
I think part of what you see here is we're kind of a canary in a coal mine. I mean, things, because we're poorer and because we're older, some things are happening here first that the rest of the nation is going to deal with later. Like health issues, for example, come up. We have a huge problem with overdoses on drugs, but they're not the sort of drugs you would probably think about in New York people overdosing on. They're not heroin. It's not cocaine. Our big problem are prescription narcotic drugs. OxyContin is one that you might have heard of.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. He became addicted to it.
Well, last year, 460 West Virginians died from prescription drug overdoses. We lead the nation in that. And it's become more of a cause of death for young West Virginians than cancer, heart attacks, car accidents, or anything else. So, we're having a big issue with that. But now there's some national numbers that show the rest of the nation is starting to catch up with us, and they're having the same issue, too. Another example, there was a big fight here last year involving senior citizens. The governor proposed cuts to in-home services, the sort of housekeeper services, nursing in the house, things that are supposed to keep elderly people out of the nursing homes. Well, we have a tough budget here. He proposed some relatively minor cuts, and there was a huge outcry from the public. The elderly folks that were involved and their caregivers and relatives came to the Capitol, had protests, and the governor had to reverse course. So even a very modest attempt to cut health care costs was rolled back because people here really need those services. And I think, again, you're going to see those issues more and more at the national level, too.
The governor is Joe Manchin. He's been very popular, hasn't he?
He's been hugely popular, in part because of his response to the Sago mine disaster. You might remember almost 2 years ago, 12 West Virginia miners were trapped after an explosion and ultimately died. And he was seen as, well, right away he went to the church where the family was. He spent, long hours with them during their vigil. And he was seen as really representing the family as well. And then afterwards, he came out and proposed a very tough set of mine safety laws that went through the West Virginia legislature. And that's important because his background, he comes from the coal industry. And so the fact that he would do that also got him a lot of play and support, I think. And he just was named head of the Democratic Governors Association. I know he has national ambitions. Of course, a lot of people do. But we'll see what happens. He's running again for re-election in 2008, and so far the Republicans can't convince anybody to run against him.
Scott Finn is talking with us on our States of the Union series. We're talking about West Virginia, and he's a reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. You mentioned that the mining industry has grown recently. So is mining still the major industry in West Virginia?
It dominates still. I mean, we've gotten a little more diverse. We have some tourism, but that is definitely the number one industry. And the recent expansion of mining, which is driven a lot by China and its demand, has kind of given us a reprieve and allowed us to have a little bit more money in our coffers. Our state was running up big debts, and now they're starting to try to pay down those debts. But on the horizon, even in West Virginia, there's a lot of talk about the environmental cost of coal. And in West Virginia, that comes in two levels. The first level is the one everyone else is familiar with, which is, carbon dioxide and global warming. And there's a lot of talk about clean coal, a lot of talk about, taking carbon dioxide from power plants and sequestering it, trapping it underneath the ground. But I think everyone agrees that we're still, a decade or two away from doing that. The other big issue here is called mountaintop removal. The way most coal is mined in the state now is it's not mined underground. Some of it is, but a lot of it is mined in these huge surface mines where monster machines cut off the tops of mountains and then dump the overburden, it's called, into streams and valleys below.
Didn't Al Gore's opposition to that approach hurt him in the 2000 election?
Well, he really tried to have it both ways in 2000. He talked a lot about clean coal, but everyone kind of knew from his background, you know, that what he really believed about that. And I think it did have an effect. I think there were a lot of coal miners that were very worried about what would happen if Al Gore became president. On the other hand, there is a significant contingent of people, regular folks who live next to mountaintop removal mines, for example, who are opposed to the practice. And so I don't think it's an easy thing to say, you know, people who are for the environment are not going to get votes in West Virginia. A lot of it has to do with personality, and it might seem shallow in a little way, but in West Virginia, people are used to knowing their politicians personally, and they almost have like a one-on-one relationship with them. And if they're turned off by somebody because they don't talk their language, because they seem like they're aloof or patrician, it can really be deadly. I definitely saw that with John Kerry, who absolutely failed to connect with regular folks here in West Virginia. And Bush had that touch, and I don't think you can underestimate that.
You talked about the born-again Christians and evangelicals who make up such a large part of the electorate, 48% of West Virginians. What are some of the other major constituencies in the state? Are gun owners and coal miners still important groups?
Yeah, they are. And at the same time, I hate to see us like seen as just the state of God, guns, and anti-gays, because we are a lot more than that. I mean,
it's a big union state, isn't it?
We are a union state, although that's weakened a lot over time with the decline of manufacturing and even in coal mining. Non-union outfits have really grown over the last 20 years and have pushed out the union folks. A lot less union folks and union influence as there used to be. Like I said, I think what you're seeing, though, is that this is a state where, you know, on one hand, people have very solid conservative beliefs when it comes to things like abortion and homosexuality and issues like that, and guns. They love their guns here. On the other hand, people have they have personal knowledge in their background of poverty. A lot of folks do. And so, you know, they respond to people. Like maybe Governor Huckabee would be a great example of this, who don't just talk, you know, who talk about poverty and talk about government's role in dealing with it. You don't see that sort of some in other states, I think, that have social conservatives. You also have people that are very fiscally conservative. I mean, we've returned Senator Robert C. Byrd over and over again to the Senate, and he's been called the King of Pork. And he actually, in the last election, when that label was stuck on him, he bragged about it. He said, "I'm Big Daddy. You know, I am, you know, getting government resources, and I'm sending them back to your state." And I know that's popular in almost every place, but especially here where we kind of feel like we've been left out of the national prosperity for so long.
But it's interesting that Hillary Clinton is leading in fundraising in West Virginia with more than twice as much money raised than Rudy Giuliani, who's in second place, not Mike Huckabee. Is that an indication of who West Virginians are supporting or just who people with money are supporting?
It's the latter. Let's see. West Virginians love a winner, too. I will say that. Who doesn't? And so, you know, I think a lot of the Democrats in the state and their fundraising machine are coalescing around that person. But when the rank and file come out and vote, we'll see how that holds up. Some Democrats in the state down ticket are worried that a Clinton candidacy could hurt their chances and have expressed that kind of quietly. But I don't know. I mean, Bill Clinton came and spoke at our Jefferson Jackson Day dinner a few months ago, got a huge response, not just from the rank and file in the party, but from regular folks, too. So we'll see when Hillary Clinton comes here and campaigns for real, if she is the nominee, how she connects to people. But again, I think that if I had to put money on West Virginia in 2008, I think we probably would lean again toward the Republican side of things, but it depends. If they put up a Rudy Giuliani, the social conservatives won't have as much of a reason to be excited and come out to vote for him, and the state could be in play again. And it depends on if the people involved, if Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, can connect with West Virginians on a personal level. John F. Kennedy did very well here. John F. Kennedy's win in the West Virginia primary in 1960 helped propel him to the Democratic nomination. And John F. Kennedy, you know, is as different from West Virginians as John Kerry's background would suggest he would be. But JFK came here. He met with the people. He looked them in the eye. And at the end of the day, people said, this is a guy that we can work with. This is a guy that understands who we are.
Well, both of your senators are opposed to the war, and yet you haven't mentioned the war. Is that not an issue in West Virginia?
It's interesting. I think people here are, in general, leery of this war, but they keep wanting to give it a chance, too. There is an anti-war movement here. It's been very active from the very beginning and effective in getting its message out, but it's a small number of people. I haven't seen any recent polling, but more polling from a few months ago showed that West Virginians are about the national average in their support or lack of support for the war. But I will say this, it really hasn't come up very much in this election. And I imagine that will change again once the presidential candidates start coming here and talking about it.
And although you are exporting coal to China, you're also exporting jobs. So is trade and globalization an issue?
It's a huge issue. I just came back to a trip to China with our governor. We were covering the West Virginia's first trade delegation to China. And, we still have an advantage in some of our technology. For example, our mining equipment is superior to theirs, but just barely. We went to a steel factory while we were there that was, I was told, one of the most modern and efficient in the entire world. It was huge. And while we were leaving, we saw they were building another one right next door to it. In our northern panhandle, we've lost thousands of steel jobs in the last two decades. Our factories are not as modern. And on top of that, their energy costs are lower because they don't have the same pollution controls we do. The pollution over there was terrible.
Scott, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. We've run out of time. Thank you so much for participating in our State of the Union series. Scott Finn, a reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting.